found your home for real sports fans. 1700 KBGG.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It's our second hour, Jimmy B and Trent, as we roll all the way till 6 o'clock. You can always get in on the show at 264-1700, 264-1700. You've been keeping your eye on that baseball game between Boston and Houston a little bit, right?
Not as much as I would have liked, Jimmy B. What do you got the latest over
there? I got 4-2 right now in favor of the Astros.
Okay.
So before we went on the air, you mentioned to me you might take a taste today on sale. Did you do that or did you back off?
No, I did, so I'm screwed.
Okay.
It's over. So. One of many bad calls out of me coming up tonight.
Okay.
I like NC State. I like the under in the Tampa New England game. But I do like the Indians a little bit tonight, though I do like the Yankees in the series. But the more I think about that, that's kind of stupid, because if the Yankees are going to win, they almost have to win Game 1. With Kluber looming in Game 2 and a Game 5 if you get there, it's Kluber.
Right.
He's ridiculous in his own right, and he's been very good against the Yankees the last few years. Maybe I'm all out of bounds. I might just be completely losing it, Jimmy B. I don't know. I'm all over
the place. Well, Sale is still in the game. I mean, it's 4-2. They're playing in the top of the fifth. Sale is still dealing.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not done yet. I mean, you know, Boston has a lineup. They can create offense. You know that.
Yeah, that's true. You're more optimistic than I am, Jimmy B.
I'm just trying to help you out. That's all.
Well, you bludgeoned me last week in our picks. I mean, you just absolutely throttled me. And you finally took the lead back as you're up a game. You're 16-8-1. I'm 15-9-1. Both great numbers against the spread, by the way. But last week,
I was just, yes,
it was all Jimmy B.
They are. They are great numbers. Trent, remind everybody that our picks are against the spread. We're not just picking winners here.
Right.
We do the full 9 yards against the spread. And we are smoking hot. Smoking hot.
Yeah, it's due to come back when you keep
Yeah, I know
chest.
It is.
And why do you get on Twitter beating your chest about your picks? Come on, Jimmy B.
Why not?
Yeah.
People should be listening to the show.
Well, they should
be.
They should be, but not because of our picks, though. Come on. I mean, we screw around. It's not like we really know what's going on here. You know what's going to happen by the end of the season. We'll be right around 500. That's the way it goes.
I mean, yeah, I know.
It's
it
all
will.
Well and good now, Jimmy B. I'm waiting for the inevitable shoe to drop. And it dropped for me last week with a 1-4. We'll try to do better tomorrow. We'll have Iowa State, Oklahoma on the list. That'll be right around 4 touchdowns as it sits today. Illinois, we'll put that one on there. And we'll find the Chiefs in Houston. Probably will find its way on the list. And we'll find a couple more games. College football-wise, what are you pumped up for this weekend outside of the locals? What's the game that you're all fired up? Game day is going to be at West Virginia, TCU. I just kind of,
They're at TCU.
The two newcomers for that one of the Big 12, I don't know. I think I'm probably most excited for Miami, Florida State.
Really? You think that one? I don't have any faith left in Florida State after the injuries have just killed that team. I just don't. I think Miami's fun to watch, but I just don't have that sort of faith in them. I am going to watch Michigan State, and I'm going to watch that just because of what happened last year. And I want to see if, with a new quarterback, O'Korn now is the quarterback for Michigan, if they move the ball better offensively. We know their defense is top stuff, but I'll probably sample a little bit of that game. And I will take a look at the TCU game. You got that right. I'm not going to take a look on the West Coast. USC, Oregon State, no. But there is a good one. Washington State at Oregon. And Washington State, Trent, coming off that upset of USC, and now they will have to play the Ducks in beautiful Eugene, Oregon, and we'll see if they can handle prosperity or if the Ducks put it on them.
Yeah, you know, an interesting spot here. Normally, I would be all over Oregon. I mean, this would have been a bet I would have made right away earlier this week. Letdown spot for Washington State, a historic victory. You're going on the road. You're going to Autzen Stadium, you know, all these things. But Oregon is incredibly dinged up, not just Royce Freeman, the running back.
Right.
Looks like he's going to go, but he's been banged up. Their quarterback, Herbert, is not going to be playing in this game. Two of their receivers are injured. Their tight end is injured. There are the walking wounded over there, and maybe waddling wounded with the Ducks. I'm staying away from this game, but normally this is a spot every single time I'd be jumping on Oregon. I can't do it with all those injuries. That'll be, it's not a late game either. 7 o'clock game for us here. So
right.
Doesn't have that late window. Late Cal's at Washington, not really. Stanford, Utah. Yeah, Bryce Love is worth the price of admission, at least.
He's got over 1,000 yards already. I know, and nobody's talking to him. It's because of that damn East Coast bias.
No, it's not.
Well, I know, but it's that East Coast bias. They still should be talking about this kid.
You Washington
I hate that East
Coast
bias.
Wham. You worked on this.
It's terrible. It's terrible. I did, and I had bias then. So, but since I don't anymore, I have dropped that bias.
Oh, really?
But yes, Washington and Cal. I'll probably sample it. But I'm with you. I'm going to take a look at Oregon and Washington State. We'll both sample Wisconsin and Nebraska.
Of course.
I mean, both of us will do that.
Yeah, I mean, Alabama's at A&M. Hey, before we got to take an early break here, we got Derek Peck coming in. We're going to talk Hawkeyes with him. Here's a number after.
Okay.
With all the moves in the SEC. Current coaches in the SEC are 2-32 against Nick Saban. The two victories, the kick six game for Gus Malzahn and Johnny Manziel early in his tenure.
Sumlin.
That's it. Two victories in the SEC. Now you wonder why the SEC is maybe losing a little bit of national profile in the eyes. Well, there's a big reason right there. We'll come back on the other side. More college football talk. We'll be talking Hawkeyes next. Derek Peck from BC Divide, Black and Cardinal Divide. He's up next here, Jimmy B and TC on 1700 KBGG. Jimmy B and TC here in the 5 o'clock hour. We turn our attention over to a little Hawkeye talk. Yesterday, had an opportunity to talk with Cody Peck from BC Divide. He gave us the Cyclone perspective. Now, time for the Hawkeyes as Derek Peck joins us on the Draft House 50 Hotline. Derek, good to talk with you. What's going on?
I'm doing good, fellas. I'm glad you saved the best for last, right? I always go for my brother. Is that the case?
Yes. I like how you put that. Save the best for last, as we'll be talking with the guys from bcdivide.com. We'll be talking with them each and every week. Cyclone perspective, Hawkeye perspective, and that's what the website is. And our conversations throughout the coming months are brought to you by Murphy Tower Service, who currently taking applications for technicians out there. MurphyTower.com. You're looking for a new job. They are hiring right now. No experience needed. And you can earn while you learn, starting at $16 an hour with potential increases starting at 45 days. MurphyTower.com, presenting our conversations with Black and Cardinal Divide. And right now we're talking Hawkeyes with Derek. All right, Derek, let's get into it here. And, get ready for the matchup against Illinois. Yeah, Michigan State a week ago, it was a frustrating one. I think most everybody's ready to flush that game.
I hope so. I have to give you and Jim props. I heard you guys both picked Iowa to lose that one, and I didn't. I'll be honest. I didn't think Iowa would lose against Michigan State. I was a little worried about that heartbreaking loss against Penn State and how they'd come, if they'd be ready to perform or not. And even Kirk acknowledged on Tuesday that he thinks that's a valid question. He's not sure if they were quite ready. And I think, by the way, that they played against Michigan State, that was pretty evident. And, I knew it was going to be a tough game. I thought they'd come out on top, and they didn't. And boy, it just makes this game on Saturday, much more important. They can't come out and lay an egg against Illinois or how Hawkeye Nation will react to that.
Well, they could. They could do that, but we don't expect that. Yes, but we don't expect that to happen. Look, the line is, what, Trent, 18? Is it still at 18? 18 and a half, right in there?
Mm-hmm.
So from that standpoint, this should be a victory where they put up 30, 35, and the offense gets untracked a little bit. But don't they have to also do a much better job defensively and not let Illinois hang around in the game?
Yeah, I think so, and they better not, because Illinois is terrible. I mean, their offense is terrible. They're starting Jeff George. I think Jeff George's son, it sounds like, is going to be the quarterback on Saturday. Iowa's defense has no business giving up many points to this Illinois team. So if they do, that will be extremely concerning. And they looked much better in the second half against Michigan State, but it is concerning that Rugumba it sounds like he's still out. Obviously Oja Medea struggled on Saturday against Michigan State's wide receivers, and Illinois has a good one in Dudek. I think he's one of their best players, but overall, Iowa's defense, they got to get pressure on the quarterback. I mean, I'd like to see Epinesa get some more reps and possibly even start by this point, because I don't know about you guys, but when I see him on the field, I find myself watching him,
mm-hmm.
and he's disruptive on almost every play that I watch when he's on the field. So, they need that. They need to get to the quarterback. They need to pressure them, because Josh Jackson has played really well, but outside of that, the defensive backs have struggled at times, and certainly Oja Medea has. So, I'd like to see Epinesa get some more reps, but to me, how well Iowa does the remainder of the season, though, honestly, I think it depends mostly on the offense and Stanley's ability to start hitting some of these passes down the field.
Got to make plays, absolutely, and so close on so many of those. The interesting part about this, Derek, is you go through and you look at the matchup and what they've had. Vandenberg had a step on a guy. They've had plays down the field, and it's just been a little bit off. I can't think of a way, though, that you could practice things like that. I guess it just comes down to, getting that touch, figuring it out in game. You can go through all the reps you want in practice, but so much different with guys coming at your feet. The ability, you might get hit on a play as a quarterback, which doesn't happen in practice. I don't think there's anything they can do outside of just keep going through these reps during the game, and hopefully Nate Stanley can figure out how to hit on those deep shots.
Well, and that's why, that's why a game like the one on Saturday against Illinois is so important. I mean, this game is an opportunity where hopefully they can get out to a comfortable lead and get some confidence. Stanley needs to get some confidence on those deep throws. I don't know what it is. I try to be patient with it. I would remind Hawkeye fans that this kid is young, and if you look at his stats, he's actually having a pretty impressive season when you consider his lack of experience heading into it. I think he's like 12 touchdowns and one interception, but there's four or five touchdowns that he's left off the scoreboard because he can't hit a wide open receiver down the field, and that is what's interesting to me about it. Is heading into the season, everybody was worried about the wide receivers, and I'm not saying they can't be better, but they've been getting open down the field, mm-hmm. and he just hasn't hit them. So I don't know if he's forcing it or if he's getting a little antsy. It certainly isn't an issue with his arm strength. That much is obvious. The kid has a cannon. But I actually wrote an article about it this morning on our website, bcdivide.com, and it's about exactly what we're talking about. I mean, I think Iowa's offensive woes would be greatly, helped if he could just start to hit on some of these deep passes, because, everybody knows when you're playing Iowa – that the defenses are going to load the box and try to stop the run. And that's the strategy, even if you have a quarterback who can complete the ball down the field. But when you have a guy who's not completing anything down the field, those safeties really start to creep up and they just play against the run. And I think that's what we've been looking at. And, you also have to take into consideration that the offensive line, they've been shifting all over since game one. I mean, they opened up with Boone Myers had a high ankle sprain, and then James Daniels missed game one. And, the reports out of Tuesday's press conference, Boone Myers is still gimping. I mean, he's still limping around on that ankle. He hasn't been able to let it heal because he hasn't been able to get off of it because they've been moving the guys around. After Bodker got hurt, they've been shuffling all around up front, and certainly they need to play better too. But I think you have to take into consideration that they just haven't been that healthy. So there's a number of different things that go into it, but Stanley has had time to complete some of these passes, and sooner or later he's just got to hit on some of them.
Derek Peck joining us, bcdivide.com, in our weekly segment. It's presented by Murphy Tower Service. Derek, jumping forward with that, Illinois, all right, let's mark this in the W column. They get to 4-2. It's a bye week after that. The importance of coming back, Northwestern, Minnesota, before that difficult stretch over the final course of the season. it appears unlikely that this team is going to win the Big Ten West just because of what Wisconsin has, unless the Badgers stub their toe. It almost feels like that is out of the picture, even if they'd find a way to win at Camp Randall. Still, a lot to play for this season. How important is it for them to come out, get this victory in an impressive way, and start to gain the momentum that it feels like they've lost over these last 2 weeks?
It's huge. It's huge for them, and that's what, you know, that's really how I'm approaching this game for the Hawks, is just hopefully it'll be a confidence builder for them. Hopefully they can put up, you know, 30, 40 points, get some confidence in Stanley and the offense and the defense. You know, I mean, Nebraska's defense only gave up 6 points against Illinois, you know, and Nebraska's defense has been average at best this year. And the Hawkeyes should shut them down. Hopefully Iowa's offense, you know, gets an opportunity to take off on Saturday. And then, you know, after talking about all those injuries up front, I think it would be great for the offensive line to have, it's a good timing for the bye week going into those crucial games at with Northwestern and Minnesota prior to Ohio State. So I agree. I mean, I'm not sure if they have a chance to win the West, but I'm not giving up hope yet. I think they can still stay in the race. And you know, in many years in Kirk Ferentz's tenure, the Hawkeye team tends to really build up and start playing their best football later in the season. And, you know, they've got a young quarterback, and I just think he needs the confidence. He needs to let the game come to him instead of forcing it, and that comes with time. So the optimistic side of me says, you know, Iowa's defense will keep them competitive in every game they have left on the schedule. I really believe that. It's whether or not the offense can get some points on the board and help them out. And if Stanley can get comfortable, then I think that'll go a long ways in helping them get to a decent bowl game and maybe even putting them back in the race to try to snag the Big Ten West.
Well, Derek, before we let you run, Jim and I were talking the other day, and we got wondering, all right, BC Divide, we got the website, Hawkeye side, Cyclone side. How two guys grew up in the same household, two brothers, one ends up a Hawkeye, one ends up a Cyclone. How does that happen, Derek?
You know, at least in our case, it's, I guess I would call myself the loyal one. My brother and I grew up in Eastern Iowa. My mom, our mom, we didn't know our real dad, and our mom remarried when we were pretty young. I was in fourth grade. Cody was going into fifth grade, and when she remarried whom we consider our dad, Joel, he was an Iowa State graduate. So up until that point, you know, we would watch, that was the old 2, 7, and 9, and maybe Fox, and in Eastern Iowa, the only games you'd get on television were Hawkeye games. So I grew up watching, you know, Hawkeye basketball and football with my mom, and so did Cody. But when she remarried our dad, and, you know, he was obviously a Cyclone graduate, he was a big Cyclone fan, and he started, he would take us to some Cyclone games and stuff. My brother converted to Iowa State, and then they had our younger brother and sister, who are both actually students at Iowa State right now. So so I stuck with the Hawkeyes, and Cody went with Iowa State, and then my younger brother and sister went with Iowa State. And my mom's kind of neutral. She tries to stay neutral, but other than that, I'm kind of on my own here. So
yeah,
I try to hold it down, but I always joke that I must be the smart one because I cheer for the team that wins.
Good stuff. BCDivide.com is the website. Stop on out there. Great Hawkeye and Cyclone content each and every day. Black and Cardinal Divide, and our conversations here presented by Murphy Tower Service. As always, great catching up with you once again. Look to do it again next week, Derek. Be good.
Sounds good. Thanks, fellas.
That is Derek Peck joining us on the Draft House 50 Hotline. Good stuff there. Hawkeyes in Illinois, 11 o'clock game. The Cyclones in Oklahoma, also an 11 o'clock game. The Clicker going to get a good workout, or maybe that might be a time to head on out. Find a nice spot at Draft House 50. Watch both of the games. Always a good idea. We'll come back here. On the other side, we go from Hawkeye talk, Get ready for some baseball tonight. It's the Yankees and the Indians. Ken Silverstein joins us next on Jimmy B and TC.
Welcome back, everybody. Our final segment here on a Thursday in the capital city. And we say hello to Ken Silverstein, Big Ten Conference insider. But today he's going to operate as well as a Major League Baseball insider on the Draft House 50 Hotline Mills Civic Parkway in West Des Moines. Kenny, good afternoon. And are you ready for the Yankees and the Indians?
Yeah, I am ready, and I've been chomping at the bit ever since, when this obviously was figured out after Minnesota got beat the other night. It's very seldom that the Yankees go into any series as an underdog, and this is a big underdog. So we'll see. It's a best of five. If I'm the Yankees, they must win tonight, because if they don't, they get the Klubinator, better known as Corey Kluber, tomorrow, weather permitting. And that ain't good for them. So this is a very important game for both teams, but even more important for the New Yorkers.
Well, the interesting decision to go with Trevor Bauer has been talked about a lot here in game number one. I guess you can understand how good Bauer has been really in the second half of the year. He's put up some unbelievable numbers. But still, you're just used to seeing the ace out there in game number one. The decision by Francona to go this route, your thoughts on that, Ken?
Yeah, it's a little bit different, but he marches to his own beat. He's going to be a future Hall of Famer in Tito Francona, and he doesn't follow the book. Witness last year using Miller in the bullpen and how he used him, you know, in crucial situations early, mid-game, and not saving him for the eighth or ninth inning. So he does what he wants. He's got the resume to back it up. He's got a couple World Championships with the Red Sox. They just missed last year. The Cubs won, obviously, in extra innings in Game 7. So, yes, I was surprised with everybody else. But he, meaning Bauer, who is one unique cat, if I can say that, is speaking of somebody who marches to his own tune. He is definitely marching to his own tune. But he's been very good in the second half. And the one thing about Bauer, if he's going to fail tonight, it's not going to be dribs and drabs. It's going to be one inning that comes out of nowhere, and before you know it, even though I think he's going to have a quick hook because the significance of the series, and a short series, not a seven-gamer but a five-gamer. Usually when Bauer's not good, it goes quickly. So we'll see tonight what occurs. The Yankees have not hit well against Bauer this year. The only guy who's really had success in his career is Jacoby Ellsbury. But other than him, the big guns, Sanchez, Judge, Gregorius, and others have not fared well. So we'll see. It's picture perfect. It's like 70 degrees, sunny, very little wind. It's going to be a beautiful night for game number one.
Ken Silverstein is our guest on the Draft House 50 Hotline. Kenny, take me to Sonny Gray. This is a deal that the Yankees went out and did, and this is why they got him. How do you predict Sonny Gray does tonight then in this big moment?
Well, they're in a tough spot. He's not a number one. I mean, he was a number one in Oakland, but that's not saying a whole bunch. I think at best Sonny Gray's a two or a three in a five-man rotation. Now, tonight he's going to have to act like a one. And I think you'll know with him, a lot of it is control. A lot of it is how big is the strike zone tonight. If it's a bigger strike zone, that helps the Sonny Gray because he's going to nibble and nibble and nibble. He's not going to try to blow people away. The other thing is he takes forever on the mound, so get a couple extra liquid beverages tonight if you're staying at home to watch the game or wherever you might be, because it's going to take a while between pitches. He is really, really slow between pitch one and the next one that leaves his fingertips. So I think it's about even. Bauer's not a number one on this squad at best. He's a three behind Kluber and Carrasco, but he tonight's going to be a number one. Gray, who I mentioned earlier, is not a number one on this squad. Severino is a number one, but didn't pitch like it the other night when he got rocked against the Twinkies. So kind of a funky game for a game one. You have guys who are not number ones pretending at least for 3 hours plus that they are number ones. And I don't know. I'd say right now Bauer has pitched better. I think Gray's pitched okay. I think the numbers are a little bit misleading. He had a couple outings where the Yankees didn't score a lot of runs. and ended up taking a no decision or a loss. So I think his numbers are a little bit out of whack with the Yankees. But with that said, he doesn't throw 95, 98, 100 miles an hour. But we'll see tonight whether he can handle the right-handed hitters and the lefties who are going to either be a left-handed hitter or a switch hitter batting, in this case, from the left side against the right-hander Gray.
You know, a year ago when this Indians team, Ken, made this run to the World Series, we know how it ended with the Cubs getting them in the game number 7, but such a huge part of that was Andrew Miller. He's been on the DL twice this year with that right knee issue. He's saying the right things, but where is he at in your mind right now? And we know the importance, certainly, of Andrew Miller if this team is going to make a run back to the World Series.
Well, no doubt. He's one of the best, if not the best, in baseball right now. I think they're going to use him, but they're going to spot him, and I don't think you're going to see him as much as they normally would use him, unless he is and has convinced them, and I have not been told by anybody that he has, that he's 100%. So, again, I think they're going to try to spot him, but I don't think he's going to pitch as much, at least in this round. Now, if they're successful, and I think they will be, and get and jettison the Yankees and face either Houston or Boston, most likely Houston, then I think you might see a little bit more of them. And if they get to the World Series against whomever, then I think you'll see more of them. But I think in this best of five, I don't think they're going to use them as much as they would have used them, let's say, in May or June if he was physically able to do it, and I'm not sure that he's 100%. So they will use him, just don't think it's going to be as often as he would like, or better yet, they would like.
Ken, will they challenge all those Yankee bats right from the get-go, or do you think that they will nibble around the plate a little bit and get them to try to chase some bad pitches?
No, they'll go after them. I mean, Bauer's going to throw over 95. Kluber's in that area. He's got pinpoint control. And Carrasco's about 96, 97, times even 98 miles per hour. So, no, they'll go after him. I think the edict will be in regards to Aaron Judge with his 52 homers in the regular season and 114 runs batted in. That they will pitch carefully. They'll pitch up in the zone. They will throw sliders on the outer edge to see if they'll fish. And I think the edict will come from the very top, Francona on down. Judge is not going to beat us. So if we have to walk them or they have to walk them, they will walk them. They'll pitch to them carefully. But I think when there's nobody on base and if they have the lead or if it's a tie ball game, yeah, they'll go after him. They'll go after Sanchez. Those are the two guys. Let's see, Sanchez has got 30-plus homers. Judge hit 52, Gregorius, I want to say at 25, I think. Yeah, 25 off the top of my head. So that's 2, 3, and 4 usually in the lineup. They're the three guys that have to hit and be really consistent for the Yankees. If they aren't hot and the pitching slows them down, then I think it's going to be really difficult for the Yanks to win this series.
Ken, the unbelievable run, the long winning streak, all these things, yet it seems like the Indians are kind of piecing some things together here. They finally get Michael Brantley back, making another comeback. They're going to use him, it sounds like, mostly in a pinch-hitting role against the Yankees. And then you got Jason Kipnis trying to basically learn center field on the fly. Your take on both of those guys who have been all-stars throughout their career, but certainly different roles going into this DS.
Well, no doubt. I mean, Kipnis played center field at the University of Arizona. Hello, Tucson. But he's played a little bit the last week or two. I don't like the move personally. I'm a believer the ball finds people that are not used to playing the position, and that usually means a negative. But he's a gamer. He's a tough hombre, and I think they will use him and keep their fingers crossed. If I'm the Yankees, I run on him. I take the extra base. I force Kipnis to prove to me that he is a more than legitimate center fielder when he's been a second baseman his entire career in the major leagues with the Indians. So I run on Kipnis. That's number one. Number two on Brantley, he will be a pinch hitter. I don't think they want him in left field at this point. If they beat the Yankees, and I'm going to assume they will we see him in round two or in the World Series? Possibly in left field. We might. It depends on, you know, how the ankle is and how well he might fare in left field, but he's a quality bat off the bench. And I would say in the first half of the season prior to the injury, I could make a hell of an argument he was their best hitter from top to bottom. Brantley is a very, very difficult out. They call him Mr. Smooth. They call him Mr. Smooth because he's got a great swing. And he doesn't get intimidated. Excuse me. And he will be a tough out as a pinch hitter. I'll be curious to see when they use him. Do they use him early, or do they save him in a more normal situation and they use him as a pinch hitter if need be, let's say, I don't know, seventh, eighth inning, ninth inning on, assuming, you know, it would go to extra innings. I'd be curious to see how they use Brantley and maybe more importantly, when they use Brantley.
Ken Silverstein is our guest on the Draft House 50 Hotline. We are previewing the upcoming game, Yankees and Indians. Kenny, I'm just curious, when they were going through, and Trent referenced it briefly, but when they were going through that 20-plus-in-a-row winning streak, is there any reference to that at all as we approach the playoffs, or is that like just a thing of the past?
Oh, it's a thing of the past. I mean, it doesn't mean it's nice from a historical standpoint, and I mean, they had a tremendous late August, a tremendous September, and the numbers are staggering. But they were last year, and back in 07, when they had a 3-1 lead against Boston, one victory away from going to the World Series that year. They were the underdog, okay? They are a huge favorite in this series. They are a huge favorite to get, not only get to the World Series, to win the World Series. So the expression goes World Series or bust. What it really means is World Series victory and bust. Okay, getting there is not going to be enough. It's not going to appease his fan base, and it definitely it's not going to appease the punditry, both locally, regionally, and nationally. They are better than they were last year. They're better because their starting pitching is healthy. They're better because they have Brantley somewhat back. They're better because they have Jay Bruce. They're better because they have Edwin Encarnacion. They're just better. They are deeper. Are they a perfect team? No, there is no such thing as a perfect team, but they are really good. And how they put this thing together is pretty remarkable. We don't have enough time on this show to figure it out. I'll just say, in a nutshell, some of it was wisdom, and some of it was pure, pure luck, okay? And I'll give you one example. The Corey Kluber deal with San Diego was pure luck, okay? They had no idea, okay, that Corey Kluber, they thought Corey Kluber was going to be a fifth starter. He's on the verge of winning a second Cy Young Award. One more example. I had their people tell me a couple years ago, when Jose Ramirez was brought up from AAA Columbus, Ohio, okay, that he was going to be a utility guy. But they were afraid the bat would get knocked out of his hands, okay? Now he's arguably, notice I said arguably, one of the best, I don't know, three, four best hitters in the American League, and maybe one of the top five, six, seven hitters in all of baseball. So it's some of it's wisdom. A lot of it has been luck. They've hit on two guys on a 25-man roster that they had no idea were going to be perennial all-star type of players and elite players, and that's Kluber. Okay, and that is Ramirez right now. And they're both not 35 years old. Kluber is 30, 31 off the top of my head. And Ramirez, how old is Jose? Jose, I think, is either 24 or 25. I think that's, wow. If I'm off a year or so on Ramirez. So, guys, some of it's wisdom. A lot of it has been pure luck. And you got to be lucky. You got to be lucky in life. And they have been very, very lucky in a lot of ways.
Getting ready for tonight's Yankees-Indians Game 1. Ken Silverstein joining us on the Draft House 50 Hotline. Ken, before we let you run, want to jump into another one of your expertise, and that is Big Ten football this weekend. Big one in the Big Ten West, if you're a believer that Nebraska's making the improvements necessary. Two victories, yes, it was Rutgers and Illinois, but still two wins. Any shot at all that they can find a way to beat Wisconsin on Saturday night?
I don't see it. I really don't. I'm with you. I don't think the two wins mean a whole bunch. I think the hot seat's still hot for Coach Riley. Wisconsin is playing Wisconsin football. Run the ball effectively, okay, with the youngster. dink and dunk a little bit with the passing game. I'm not a huge fan of their quarterback. I think if you put pressure on him, he'll crater. He's not a superior athlete. Doesn't have a superior arm, but I don't see Nebraska doing that a whole bunch. The 3-4 is still very good and kind to the Badgers, so I think Wisconsin is going to win, and I don't see anything really stopping them. I mean, they might get one loss between now and the end of the year, but I see them representing again in Indianapolis, and they're going to get beat again. They're going to get beat again because they're not good enough to beat. They're not beating Penn State. I can tell you that right now. If they played right now, Penn State would beat them as bad as they beat them last year. It would be ugly, okay, for Wisconsin. Can they beat Michigan? They wouldn't move the ball real well on Michigan's defense. I can tell you that. It's one of the best, if not the best in all, of college football. Now, the Michigan offense is pretty putrid right now, so it might be a decent game for Wisconsin against Michigan. Ohio State has got the athletes. They got the recruiting classes. But I want to see Ohio State beat Penn State if they're capable of doing it on the 28th. I want to see Ohio State beat Michigan at the end of the year before I got Ohio State in the championship game. Michigan State will know a lot more after Saturday when they play Michigan. I don't think they're going to beat the Wolverines, but if they do, I'll become a little bit more of a believer. But right now, Wisconsin is clear-cut the best in the West. And I'll be honest with you guys, I don't think it's that close. You may disagree with me, but I don't think it's that close right now.
I don't think Wisconsin's that good, Ken. They haven't played anybody, and they're not going to play anybody up until...
I know. It's kind. Talking like the Indians. It's kind. I mean, you're right. You only play who's on your schedule. I'm with you. I'm not the biggest Wisconsin guy. I think a lot of times they're very predictable. I play 8 men in the box, and I basically say to them, run the ball, boys. Run the ball. I bet you we can stop you. And I think the elite teams in the East, maybe all the Big Four, and we're going to include Michigan State. I'm not sure about them. I'll know more on Saturday when they play the Wolverines. But I know the Big Three can beat Wisconsin. There's no doubt in my mind they can beat them. I don't care where they play the game. Okay, they don't have the athletes. They don't have the quarterback. They don't have the wide receivers. They don't have enough team speed. They can win the West. It seems like they win the West every year now. Obviously, the Hawkeyes beat them a couple of years ago, and that's tremendous. But I think you see what I'm saying. They've been on a hell of a run, and I don't see it ending this year. So I don't know. I don't think anybody on their schedule is going to beat them, and I don't think, as much as I'd like to see Coach Riley get the heat off his backside from the fan base, alumni, and so forth, I don't see Nebraska pulling this out. They start putting pressure on that quarterback, Tanner Lee, and he's going to start throwing picks, and if he starts throwing picks, they're in deep trouble. And so as much as I'd like to see a competitive game, I think Wisconsin's going to tar and feather the boys from Lincoln.
All right, we got a minute left. Iowa, Illinois. I've called this game a slump buster, Ken, for the Hawkeyes.
Oh, this is. Yeah. Good way of describing it. It really is. And I got to tell you, they need... After watching the Michigan State-Iowa game, it reminded me of my days in college when, you know, sometimes you had to stay up late, you know, to study. I know that's something Jim can't relate to way back in the day. Okay? And you did what you had to do to, you know, to stay up late, you know, 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning to cram for an 8 o'clock final. Okay? I think you all know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Okay? Begins with the letter N as in Nancy. You remember those days? Whatever. The bottom line is that's how bad it was watching Iowa and Michigan State. Oh, my goodness, come on. Just get the ball in the end zone, Hawkeyes, please. So, this is a pad-the-numbers kind of game. They're going to win. Iowa needs to win badly, and they're going to win and get the offense hopefully in gear here because last week it was not good. That's a game where you allow that amount of points on the road. You should win more times than not. And so the defense showed up. The offense didn't score enough. You got to score more than Iowa scored against Michigan State. Look, I know Michigan State's pretty good defensively, so I want to see a little bit more before I, you know, go, 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 gaga over them. But bottom line, this is a game. Jim calls it a slump buster. You call it whatever you like. It's going to be a W for the Hawkeyes.
Thank you, Kenny. Good stuff out of you. Enjoy the baseball tonight, and we'll talk to you next week.
We'll talk to you next Thursday, guys. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Ken.
You got it. Ken Silverstein on the Draft House 50 Hotline, Mills Civic Parkway, West Des Moines. Good stuff out of him as we now get ready for more Major League Baseball.
Yeah, we do, Jimmy B. And here in our final minute or two of the program before we wrap up, what a night of sports we got. Of course, this afternoon,
yeah,
started off with baseball, and it continues tonight with that Yankees-Indians game. Really looking forward to that series. The NFL tonight, you got a feeling? You have Patriots against Tampa Bay. Where are you going there?
I got Tampa Bay winning this game.
What?
Yes, I do. Doug Martin is back at running back after serving his four-game suspension. I think Tampa Bay's defense harasses Brady enough, and I'm not sold until I see big changes in the defense of New England that I'm going to, you know, just go, oh, my God, it's the Patriots. They're going to win this going away. I don't. Mm. I think the Bucs have got a shot here. I really do.
I don't have a strong opinion point spread-wise on this one.
Right.
But I do like the under. I think this Patriots defense, after being much maligned over the last few weeks, they're going to step up with a pretty good performance, harass Jameis Winston a little bit and put him into some tough spots. So I like the under, actually, is one of the things tonight. And in college, I think a fun game with Louisville, NC State. NC State's got a couple of good dudes up front. Defensive line's very good. Last year, embarrassing performance out of them when they went up against Louisville. I think I like NC State tonight, not just to cover. I like them to win the game outright. A little underdog for you tonight. Give me the Wolfpack on the money line. That's maybe my favorite one of the evening.
Interesting. Okay, both teams are 4-1 heading into that game tonight. So, look, Lamar Jackson is like a human video game. It's so much fun to watch him play quarterback for the Cardinals. But NC, you're right a little bit about they've got some big guys up front. They're a little salty, NC State is. So I might lean that way a little bit with you, but I really don't have a good feeling on that game, just like the NFL game tonight.
Well, Jimmy B, we'll be back at it tomorrow starting at 4 o'clock as we get ready. It'll be a football Friday and a busy one, getting ready for the football weekend. We'll have baseball going on. What a great time of year this is.
This is the best, Ken. Absolute best. So I'm really looking forward to this weekend because everything, even if you're a big NHL hockey fan, they're playing now. So you can get a little taste of that as well.
Oh, slow down.
I mean,
slow down on the hockey. Come on.
What? You can get a little taste of NHL action. Come on.
October hockey. Get out of here.
I'm just saying that if you're a hockey fan, it's available to you. Just like I told you a couple of weeks back when you were saying, oh, these games are lousy. Well, then watch the President's Cup golf.
No, that's lousy. That's lousy. I'm not watching some contrived golf matchup. I'm not doing that either. What I am doing is watching baseball and football, and we'll be back at it tomorrow starting at 4 o'clock with Jimmy B and TC. Before that, the Ken Miller Show with myself, Trent Condon, as we'll talk the world of sports with you. Enjoy your sports evening, and we'll have you covered here on 1700, right around the corner, the Buccaneers and Patriots via Westwood One. Good night, everybody.